This is Ozarks at Large. A recently discovered species of Ebola virus may be more widespread than previously thought. Christian Forbes, an assistant professor of biology at the University of Arkansas, along with colleagues from the University of Helsinki, Masai Mara University, and the University of Nairobi, discovered the Ebola virus in an Angolan free-tailed bat captured in southeast Kenya. The findings are being published in a CDC journal, and yesterday, Forbes came to Studio 123 to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about his research.
For me, it was during my master's degree in public health, and I started reading a lot of books about where epidemics and pandemics come from, and they tend to come from spillover from animals. And then I also got interested in virus hunters in different parts of the world and reading a lot about them, and thought it sounded quite interesting.
Virus hunters, I think that's the first time I've heard that phrase.
Okay.
What is that?
it's essentially, basically, there's a whole unknown world out there we don't know about. We can't see of our virus and other pathogens and parasites circulating out there. And every now and then they spill over into people, which is what we see every now and then from Ebola virus. And so there's people out there proactively trying to sort of assess what's out there and what might someday spill over or pose a public health risk to people. And the more we know about them in advance, the more the faster our responses are if these things do happen.
So this is more the preventative side of things.
Yes, but, well, yes and no. There's a whole lot out there, and only an absolute fraction of those really do pose any risk to people. So I guess it's an exercise in increasing our knowledge of the biological world as well. So it's not just practical implications, it's fundamental implications in understanding what's out there and the diversity of organisms.
So how did you get involved in this project in Africa? It seemed like there were a lot of different colleagues for you to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a really nice one in that there's a lot of different people who are studying different aspects of diseases from a lot of different countries. For me, it was during my postdoc, so not long after I finished my PhD, and I studied rodents for that, and I wanted to diversify a little bit into bats because they're a very, very interesting group of animals.
Where were you studying?
I was in Helsinki at this stage, yeah, as a postdoc. So basically the University of Helsinki has a research station in the Teta Hills, which is the area where we found this Bombale virus recently. And I used that as an opportunity to start a project over there, just go over and do some sampling and see what we can find in the bats.
So what was interesting about this is Bombale, am I saying that correct?
Yep.
Somebody had found it in bats on the West Coast, but you found it on the East Coast?
Yeah, exactly. So there's six Ebola viruses that are known, and this is the most recent of those. And it's only known from Sierra Leone, from one report last year. And now, yeah, we've found it in Kenya, which was a big surprise for us, not something we expected. And this bat has a quite wide distribution in sub-Saharan Africa, so maybe it's across its range in a lot of Africa.
So maybe the virus is in a larger span of the continent than you originally thought. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This bat isn't known to travel too far. Like, it's not flying from west to east Africa. Like 5,000 kilometres is a long way, or 3,500 miles. So chances are it's been there for the last 1,000 years or so all the way around, and just our technology has improved and people are actively going out and looking for these things now, and lo and behold, we found it.
And you mentioned there were six types of Ebola virus. I guess we should mention two of them do not occur in humans, and this is one of those.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no evidence that this particular virus infects people.
Does the virus present differently in animals than in humans? Because we hear about it when there's an outbreak in Africa or something like that. I don't know that we hear about it so much about it being in a bat.
Yeah. Well, we actually understand remarkably little about where these viruses are hiding in nature, where they come from when they do spill over. And especially Ebola viruses, it's very rare to actually find one in an animal. So basically, we don't know much about it. There's never even been the gold evidence that bats are the reservoir for Ebola viruses. No one has isolated a replicating virus from a bat or an Ebola virus from any animal source for that matter.
So what was kind of the methodology of your project in Africa? Were you just catching bats and checking their blood, or?
We took organ samples, so we would euthanize them humanely and then collect organs and take those back to Europe and screen them. So different viruses target different organs the same way in, like, a person might have an influenza virus, which goes to the lungs, and that's why we cough and sneeze and things like that. So to actually really look at what might be there, we need different organ types. And then we can get non-terminal samples as well, like mouth swabs and feces, and we can validate whether we can actually study these diseases long-term using non-terminal sampling. But the first step, we sort of need those terminal samples. They can tell us a lot more.
Sure. What made you decide to look at animals, or I guess specifically bats, in this region of Africa?
So basically we know very, very little about the bats or the small mammal fauna there. When we first went there and did a survey, in about 2 weeks we caught 10 bat species that weren't known to be there at all. So, yeah, that was a nice surprise for us. So it's an amazingly biodiverse area. And if we don't know anything about the larger organisms, we understand even less about what sort of parasites and pathogens they might be carrying.
So you aren't necessarily looking for Ebola specifically. You're just trying to find out something, because apparently we don't know very much about them at all.
Yeah, exactly. We were just there seeing what's there, basically.
Were there any other discoveries you made that were somewhat surprising? Probably not as surprising as this one, but...
Yeah, this sort of takes a cake. But it's still ongoing work. So there's a lot of screening still being done on these samples. Obviously, we're trying to get as much out of them as we can. So nothing I can really report sure. as yet, but hopefully I'll have some more exciting news in the not too distant future.
So still working with your colleagues?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of work that goes into this in the lab, a lot more than actually in the field. So we can't do everything all at once.
So if this particular type of Ebola virus is only in animals, then what's the importance of this knowledge for humans?
So there's a couple of things here. For a start, there are 6 known Ebola viruses and 4 of them can infect people. So this is a virus we should be watching carefully. You know, we don't want to cause any alarm, but we don't want to be complacent either. Its close relatives very, very, very rarely do spill over to people. So we have to be conscious of that possibility. And as a part of this study, we have been screening people from this area who actually reported contact with bats. So this particular species of bats, it often roosts in people's houses. And so these people are more likely to be exposed to the bats and their viruses than other people. And we have been screening them. We've found no evidence of Bombali virus infection. But that doesn't mean it can never occur.
Just so we haven't found it yet.
Well, but we have to be conscious of the possibility. But also, we've never been able to study the disease ecology of an Ebola virus, so any of the other 5 Ebola viruses in nature. And maybe now we'll have a model to understand how an Ebola virus is maintained in a wildlife reservoir and risk factors for transmission within bat populations and things like that. So it's still, we're a long way off that point, but maybe we're edging closer towards it.
We talk about Ebola in humans, but scientists haven't really seen Ebola in animals before?
Well, we pick it up every now and then. We find 1 or 2 or 5 positive animals, but to actually study risk factors for transmission within their populations and how that might affect human exposure risk. So say we've got a virus in a bat or a bird or a rodent or whatever it might be, and for example, this is a hypothetical scenario.
Sure.
There might be a lot more transmission going on, say, during the spring and summer period when they're breeding. So we see higher viral loads in the animal reservoir. We see more shedding into the environment. And that can be a real risk factor for human exposure. So if we know how these things are operating in the animal reservoirs, it can tell us a lot about how to protect human public health and how to advise people about when to be conscious of these things that they might be happening, they might be exposed, to tell public health professionals and doctors that at this time of year you should be checking for this particular virus if you see these symptoms, so we can get a really efficient diagnosis and hopefully effective and quick treatment.
So not this particular type of Ebola virus, but has there have been documentation of the virus being transmitted from an animal to a human?
No, not that exact from animal to human. We know that it, we find it in animals very, very rarely, and I really have to emphasize that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then we have outbreaks in people in West Africa mainly, like we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual linking this virus came from this animal, that's very, very difficult. There's a lot of anecdotal stories, and especially from the 2014 outbreak in West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But hard evidence, it's another story.
So generally, like, that's the 2014 outbreak is the one I was thinking of.
Yep.
Scientists are able to, or doctors, I guess, are able to trace it back to the original person sometimes, but not necessarily where that person got it from?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, yeah, you often get a source index case in a human, and then you can study risk factors from them. So the 2014 story came back to a child playing in a tree that supposedly had bats roosting in it. But solid evidence linking that scenario, it's near impossible to come by.
So what is next for you in this research? What comes next?
Oh, it's a good question. So there's a few questions that come out of this. For a start, was it a one-off in the Tata Hills where we found this virus? So we want to go back and see if it's there and see if we can really study it in a more meaningful way rather than just saying, hey, it's here. But also, like I mentioned, this bat species has a very wide distribution in sub-Saharan Africa. So it could be all over the place in lots of different countries over there. So that's a another question we'd like to answer and study the phylogenetic relationship across the different geographical regions to know, is it transmitted freely right across, or is it just, say, isolated patches? But again, these are just hypothetical scenarios.
If people want to read more about your research, where is it published?
The journal Emerging Infectious Diseases, which is published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no, happy to be here. Thanks very much.
That was Christian Forbes, an assistant professor of biology at the University of Arkansas. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda at the Carver Center for Public Radio yesterday afternoon.